Ephesians 5:14 says, therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Awake from the dead. Those of you who are asleep. So I'm going to be talking about today, and where the Holy Spirit has led me to discuss today is awakening things in our lives. Because there's a lot of things that are asleep right now. A lot of us are asleep. I'm not just pointing people out here, because there's areas in my life that have been asleep that need to be awakened, right? Because we've all got a calling here. Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Where does the light come from? Christ. So why do we need to wake up? We need to wake up so we don't keep going through the same cycles and disappointments and regrets, not accomplishing those things that God has called us to do, right? We can't keep going through those same things over and over, year after year, seeing the same things just kind of pass us by. Because each one of us have a calling on our lives, a specific calling that God has placed in your heart. Some of us from childhood, and we know it. We've been there, we've seen it, but we've let those things lie dormant. We've let them kind of fall asleep, and we've fallen asleep in those areas. So it's time to wake up. It's time to take a hard look at your life and see, where are you sleeping? Because you may be fully awake in some areas, but there's other areas where you're asleep, right? And sometimes those are the things that we're called to the most, is where we're sleeping. The desires that God gave you, are you living them right now? Can you truly say that every desire that God has put in my heart, in my spirit, I'm living it out right now to the fullest extent that he's called me to live it out? Or are you asleep on them? Have you let life take over? Sometimes this happens because it seems to take too long, right? We start out real strong with these desires and dreams that God has for us, but then there's a little grind to it, right? It takes a little while to get there, and we don't see things happening as quickly as we think they should happen. And so what happens? Discouragement starts. And that's like, well, maybe it wasn't really for me, you know? But we've got to realize, when God has called us to something, to do something, to be something, that we've got to put the trust in him that it's going to be accomplished, right? We can't let those desires and dreams just fall asleep. We can't fall asleep on them. Sometimes the day-to-day routine, just grinding out every day at work, right? You got that 9-to-5, oh, I love this job. But you'll start letting the daily cares of this world take over. And what happens to those dreams and desires? They get kind of put to the wayside. And then after time, you just kind of forget about them. Believe me, we've all been there. It's like a well, right? A well is deep when it's first dug. It's springing with life and water, clear, good, clean water. And then what happens if you're not maintaining that well? Over time, silt, you know, rains come, silt comes, starts filling it up. It's time to redig those wells. It's time to clean them out and get that fresh water flowing again. You do have a well in your life, that well of goodness that the Father has put there, those dreams. The other thing is, have you procrastinated on things, thinking, oh, I can get it done tomorrow. There's always next week. I can, you know, get what I need for it. Or God will, you know, I'll go back to God with this dream or desire. That procrastination can sometimes turn in from weeks to months to years. And then you're looking back thinking, why didn't I ever start that thing? Excuse me while I nail that down there. If you procrastinate long enough, you will forget about it, right? Now, praise God, Holy Spirit will bring it up to you from time to time, but you can't procrastinate. You've got to keep moving on those dreams and desires. Take it day by day. Because if you procrastinate and if you let things get in the way, there's always going to be something in the way, right? One day it could be one thing that you're dealing with that, oh, I can't get this done today. Next thing is something else. If you let it happen, that's the way it's going to go. So it's time to wake up, right? Let's wake up these sleeping heads. It's important to do the things that God has called you to do, not just for yourself, because yes, you have dreams and desires that you need to accomplish for yourself, for your family, for those around you, but it's for the world. God has given you a specific calling because you're supposed to affect the world. There's things in your life that are going to change other people's lives that you don't even know about right now. Sometimes I look back and see some of the things that God called me to do early on when we first started, when I first started my walk with the Lord. One of them was going to New Guinea on a missions trip. Brand new into the living a life with God, and I was given the opportunity to do this. And I was like, yeah, I'll do it. I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't really know anything. But when I look back at those times and to the people that we ministered to over there, people who didn't know Jesus at all, who never heard the word of God on this island, I think back and think of how those people were affected, how their family lines have been affected. And that was over 20 years ago now. What has happened since then with these lives, right? So realize that when God puts a dream in your heart, it's not just about you. So some of us can look at it and say, oh, you know, that was a dream I had. I don't have to, you know, oh, maybe I didn't get it. You're being selfish. When God has called you to do something specific in your life, called you to be somebody, it's not just for you. Think about the overall picture, what God's plan is for somebody else, because you're going to affect somebody else's life out there. So you've got to wake up. And you're feeling a little tired right now, too. I'd say, let's wake up. The enemy would enjoy nothing more than you for you not to accomplish your dreams, right? If you're going along and you're not doing anything, not accomplishing what God has called you to do, that's kind of one of those times that nothing's really happening wrong in your life, right? You got to kind of take a look at that sometimes. Now, yes, we do have the victory, but if we're not doing anything with our lives and what God has put in our lives to do and the abilities he's given us, and the enemy can just sit back and say, oh, he's not going to do anything with it anyway. I've got other fish to fry here, bigger fish. Do you want to be a little fish? No, we're not a little fish in a little pond. We are big fish in a big pond, and God has called us to do something. So we don't let the enemy win these little battles, right? Our job as victorious children of God is to conquer the enemy, and we conquer it by becoming who we're supposed to be. We conquer it by doing what God has called us to do. And we get to see all these glorious things happen. It's time to return, I'm saying right now, if you're asleep in any area of your life that God has called you to, it's time to return to your first love. Do y'all remember when you first got saved, when you first heard the gospel, when you first started experiencing those miracles, seeing things change in your life, the dead things drawn away from you, restoration come, miracles happen, healing in your body, finances, friendships, relationships come? They all came because you came to Jesus. That's our first love, Jesus. So don't get so stagnant and so just overwhelmed with the world and procrastinating that you don't remember your first love. Revelation 2:4, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Never let it be said that we have left our first love. And if you feel like you have, it's time to return. Get that fresh anointing on you, that love for Jesus. That's why I love seeing these young people grab hold of their destinies, grab hold of what they're supposed to be doing. It's exciting to see that because as they're going off into the world, they've got this zeal for the things of God. Our youth, our young adults are so zealous for the things of God. They know what they're called to do. They, you know, they've been just meditating on it for years and years and years, you know, and God's been talking to them. Praise God that we have children here, and I mean, there's children all over the world that have been hearing from God. I look back on my young life, and I never had that. To see these kids have that, to hear God actually speaking to them, to see things moving in their lives, and then going out to the world and start conquering. It's amazing to see. And so proud of these kids in here, our kids. So how do we wake up? How do we come alive, sleeper? How do we wake up, sleeper? First, you got to get in the Word, right? I know sometimes with our busy lives and schedules and, sports and everything else, it can be real easy to say, well, I don't have time today. Again, it's one of those things. You don't do it today, tomorrow's going to be another reason. You don't do it tomorrow, it's going to be another reason. You got to get in the Word. That's number one priority. You got to read. You got to look up scriptures. You can start with just opening your Bible and reading one verse, one chapter, but you have to get in there. And I've seen it so many times, and this is the cool part about how God works and Holy Spirit. If you just take the initiative, if you just take the time to open that Bible, just flip it open, say, Father, lead me. Holy Spirit, lead me. Give me a word that I need. You flip open that Bible, you put your finger down, and that's the word you need. How many of you experienced that before? It's amazing, right? God works in every little detail. And if you're truly chasing after him, if you're truly wanting wisdom and revelation, he's going to freely give it to you, right? Again, if you draw near to him, he's going to draw near to you. He'll draw near to you with his presence, with his word. But you have to take the action to do it. You can't just sit there and hope and, you know, you can pray, obviously, but you just can't hope that, you know, revelation is going to come. You have to take action. Faith without action is what? It's dead. So you can have all the faith in the world. If you don't put it to use, if you don't put your hand to it, you're not going to get anything out of it. Right? So let's be those of action. James 4:8. This is a good one here. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I like the second part here. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Draw near to him and he will draw near to you. Right? It's not in our power. It's not in our own wisdom and our own thinking and our own knowledge. Books we read out there, teachers we listen to, as far as, you know, secular in school kind of thing. It's him. And until we start drawing to him, we will not have the wisdom and knowledge we need to accomplish those things he's called us to accomplish. You got to listen to the Holy Spirit next. I've had people come to me at work usually because it's a secular environment, right? But they know I'm a praying guy. They know I'm a Christian. They know if something's going wrong in our company, if somebody gets hurt or something, I'm going to go pray for them, right? So who do people come to when they've got something going on in their life? They're not just going to Joe Blow next to them, you know, that's living a crappy life. Can I say that in church? I'm sorry. No, they're going to go to the person that they see fruit coming from, that they see that has some faith, right? And I've had it several times. But one thing that really strikes me is there was a lady that used to work for us, and she loved the Lord. She loved the Lord. She didn't do much Bible reading, and, you know, she had kind of her own relationship with the Lord. But she'd come to me and say, Hector, you and this other guy, another guy that was a spirit-filled guy at work, you guys say you hear from God all the time. It's like, how do you do that? Like, what does it even sound like? Family, there are Christians, born-again believers, who have never heard the voice of God. Actually, they have heard the voice of God. They just don't recognize it, right? The word says that we know the voice of our shepherd. We know his voice. So why aren't people realizing that's what it is? Because they don't take the time. They don't take the time to really develop it. They don't take the time to listen. Because he's there. He's been speaking. I can look back on my life even before I was born again, and I knew, looking back, I know that was God speaking to me. Because he got me out of trouble well before I got into it. Right? We've all been there. It's not just your conscience. It's not just intuition. It's not that sixth sense, you know. It's not the worldly definitions. This is God speaking to you. He'll speak to you in your heart, in your mind, your spirit. He'll speak through you, to you through the word. But you have to develop it. It takes time. So listen to the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. If you don't have that heavenly language yet, I'm going to encourage you to start developing it. God will speak to you if you reach out to him. Pray in the Spirit. Pray. Then be still. Don't keep talking. Once you ask for something, once you ask for direction or wisdom, Father, how do I bring this thing back to life? How do I take it out of its sleeping state? And then you just keep talking and talk. Maybe I should do this. Should I do this? Should I do that? Well, maybe I could go to that person or read this book or, you know, go to this seminar. No, shut up. Right? You know, it's time to, once you get through communicating, talking to him, praying, quiet yourself. That's one thing I love or really enjoy what I love about fishing early in the mornings. I get up real early before anybody else. I'm out with the stars and the moon and just in the peaceful state of nature that God created out there. That's my environment, God's creation. I love it. The best thing about it, though, is as I'm out there, I'm not just fishing. Like I was telling Jesse, I put a bait on my line, throw it out there, and then I get to work. How do I get to work? I start talking to God. I start praying, declaring. First of all, I worship him. Give him all the glory every single day. I worship my Father because I know how good he is. And then I pray. And then in that stillness, I listen. I stop. Everything is quiet. And I just listen. And it's amazing the things you will hear. It's amazing what God will tell you in those moments, what Holy Spirit will impart into you. Sometimes it's a voice. Other times it's an inclination. It could be, hey, you need to pray for somebody. Or, hey, how about today you do this instead of doing that? Or, hey, remember that dream I put in you? It's still alive in you. You just need to wake it up. You need to wake yourself up to the dream. But you got to stop. You got to stop with the everyday, ongoing cares of this world. You got to stop and listen. That's the only way you're going to hear. My wife accuses me of not hearing her all the time. Maybe it's because I'm not listening, right? The Father has stuff to say to you. He has revelation, wisdom, knowledge to do everything you're called to accomplish. There's not one thing lacking in your life to accomplish that thing he's called you to do. I mean, everything's there. You just have to get direction. You have to listen. So if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you are filled with wisdom and knowledge. And if you're a born-again Christian, Jesus said when he went, Holy Spirit came. He was freely given to you. So you do have Holy Spirit. So don't ever question, is he with me? Is he in me? Do I have the Holy Spirit? The word says it, you do. And the word says it, so you do. So you're filled with wisdom and knowledge. Next thing is, you need to steward what you do have. Right? I think that's one thing we kind of overlook sometimes because we're not quite exactly where we want to be yet. We're not driving the car we want to drive. We're not living the life we want to live. We're not living in the house we want to live in. We don't have the friends that we desire. We don't have the health that we desire. We don't have the finances we desire. Well, look back. Are you taking care of what you have in your hand now? Right? Is that Ford Fiesta clean? Is all the junk out of it? All the Coke bottles out? Are you taking care of it? You washing it? Keeping the air, you know, tires pressured up? Are you stewarding your friendships? Are you calling on them? Are you being a friend? You got to steward what you have now to go to the next level. This reminds me of the story of the servants with the talents, right? And we always look back and, you know, yeah, we know the story well. We've heard it a lot of times. One was given five, one was given two, and one was given one talent. Master leaves. The one with five talents increased it by five more. The one with two more. The one with one talent, he buries it. He wasn't stewarding that one talent, right? So the master took it away. But I started thinking, why did he only get one talent? It's because he wasn't a good steward to begin with, right? It's like the master must have seen him and been like, look, I've been dealing with you like all these years, and you never do right by me. You never accomplish what I've told you to do. I'm going to give you one more chance here. And this is all I'm giving you because I know you haven't taken care of anything in the past. Of course, the guy who got the five talents was probably like, man, this guy is the bomb. He takes care of my business. I know I can trust him with everything, right? So I'm going to give him plenty. But that one dude with the one talent, it's like, man, again? You failed me again. I can't even trust you with the one talent. I knew I couldn't trust you before, and I gave you another chance. Now, God is the God of chances, right? He'll keep us going. But just in this parable, it stands out that why did this guy only get one talent? And Holy Spirit talked to me about it. It's because he wasn't a good steward in the past, so he couldn't be trusted with it yet. Now the master was giving him another chance. Steward this. Do right by it. Take care of it. Groom it. Develop it. You know, if it's your business, are you stewarding your business? Are you taking care of your employees? You want good employees? Take care of the employees you got now. Right? You want a good business someday? Are you entrepreneur-minded? Be a good employee where you are now. Don't be slacking off. Don't be using the company resources. Work to make that company profitable. When you can make somebody else's company profitable, you can be entrusted to make your own profitable. Right? It's all about stewardship. So what are you stewarding right now that's in your hands? The car you're driving, the home you're living in, your job, your employees. Well, here's a good one. How about your marriage? Are you stewarding that marriage? Not saying that you're going to get another wife. I'm just saying if you want a better marriage, right? Do you look at your marriage and say, oh, it's just not what it should be? Are you loving your wife right? Are you honoring your husband? Are you praying for each other? Do you sit and pray together? Do you encourage each other? You can steward everything in your life. Everything that's in your hands, from your marriage, your possessions, your friendships, your children, all these are in your hands, but you got to steward them to see any increase in them. Right? It's like that seed you put in the planter outside the beginning of spring here. If you don't water it, that thing's going to end up dead. Like those little strawberry plants I bought with Emmy. We put them in the pot. We watered them a couple times, and they didn't seem to come to life. And we kind of forgot about them. And now they're just dead roots inside of a planter. Because we didn't steward them, right? We would have probably started seeing a good, bountiful harvest right now, or at least in the summer when they come out. But we didn't steward them. And that's what God, Holy Spirit, is calling you to do, to move to the next level. Steward what you have in your hands. Take care of what you have in your hands so you will see the increase. So what awakens when you awaken? When you come alive, hopefully after this message, you're going to awaken and you'll go to Holy Spirit and go to the Word and start awakening some of those dreams and desires that you've put on the wayside, that you've put on the back burner. So what's going to awaken when you awaken? The big thing is the purpose that you're created for. That's the main thing right there. All the possessions and all those other things, yeah, they're fine. God's good, and we're going to live good lives. You know, that's what we're called to do, be victorious. But ultimately, it's that purpose in your life that needs to be awakened. Because once again, it's not just about you. It's about others around you. It's about the kingdom. And each one of us has a specific calling that God has designed you specifically for. Right? I mean, Kevin's a great massage therapist. Me, not so much. I kind of get, when Patty asked me to rub her back, you know, about 2 minutes into it, my hand starts cramping up. So, am I a good massage guy? No. But I asked God recently, Father, what am I supposed to be doing? And it's okay to do that. I don't care how, you know, spiritually high you think you are. It's good to ask, Father, am I missing anything right now? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? What is my calling? What are my gifts and talents? What am I supposed to be using them for? And I heard God tell me, you're an artist. You got to create for me. I was like, all right, Father, confirmation. Thank you, Father. So now what do? I start stewarding that, right? Start stewarding those things. I'm going back to the stewarding thing, but when God tells you something like that, you got to steward it. I mean, it's important, right? Whatever God has called you to do specifically, start stewarding it. Because no matter how you think it doesn't affect the kingdom, it does. There's a purpose for it. If you're a hairdresser, you come in contact with a ton of guys and girls every day. Somebody needs that touch from God. If your hands are anointed and you've got the word in you and it's overflowing, and I imagine hairdressers get this a lot, somebody comes to you with an issue in their life, are you just going to stand there and agree with them? Oh, yeah, that's bad, honey, you know. Ah, I hate to hear that. Yeah, things will get better. You're not giving them life, right? But if you're that anointed hairdresser that's filled with the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, you speak life into their situation. They leave that seat filled with life, filled with light, right? If you're an electrician working on somebody's house and they have no light, you can bring the light, right? No, you can pray over that home. You can pray over the systems, right? You're dealing with people again. When people find out the power you have inside of you, the Holy Spirit, they open up. I don't care what kind of business you're in. As a salesperson, I've had people come up to me at work, sales, you know, clients, because they know who I am and the way I speak. They need something. They need a touch from God. They need a word from God. And if you don't got it, how can you give it? Right? So we need to awaken ourselves. We got to stop sleeping on these things. So as far as your personal calling, what stirs your heart? And a lot of us have known this from childhood. There's something in you that stirs your heart, that makes you, there's things out there too that when you hear about them, they really cause you to want to change those things in this world, right? People hurting in certain areas or lacking in certain areas. Those things get you motivated to want to go tell them about God and how God will take care of it and how God will restore things and renew things and rejuvenate things. Ask God about it. Again, you've got to ask, but you also got to listen, right? So start asking those questions. Start looking around. Your purpose is all around you. And I know a lot of times we see that come up to us and we don't know how to handle it, right? Somebody with something that needs something, and we know that we have it kind of in us, but we're asleep still, right? Those are the things that need to be wakened up. Because especially if you have the same thing keep coming towards you, it's like, all right, Father, you're showing me something here. I need to awaken to that. There's something in you that's drawing that thing to you because you're the answer to it, right? God put that in you, and those things are just drawn to you, right? Not like the New Agey drawn stuff, right? And we're talking about Holy Spirit moving on people to come in your path because you have something to deliver them, but you got to be filled. You've got to know that you know that you know what your calling is, what you've been destined to do. You got to know the word. You've got to know Holy Spirit. As those things awaken in you, you also got to know that the enemy is going to do everything he can to stop it. Now, he doesn't have a lot of power, but he does have some wit about him. He's going to come at you with lies, with thoughts, and the sole purpose of that is to hinder you from your purpose, to keep you asleep, right? Some may be real light lies, like, oh, you're just too busy to do that. You can't go to that, you know, church conference. You can't go to that church meeting. You know, you got other stuff to do. If God's called you to be there, be there. I'll tell you what, I've even felt bad mornings coming to Sunday service. It's like, oh, I really don't feel like going today. I just don't feel, you know, up to it. That was the day I needed to be there. And I know all of us has felt that because that's when the enemy starts lying to you, right? He's going to come at you with lies. And again, the sole purpose of that lie is so that you don't accomplish what God has called you to accomplish. You got to see them as lies. Anything that's distracting you, pulling you away from your purpose, is a lie from the enemy. Because God would never do that, right? Because he put you, again, on this planet, in this earth suit, to accomplish something. He's not going to keep you from it. He's not going to hinder you. He's not going to make excuses, right? So be led. Be led by the Spirit. Awaken the dreams and desires you have let past. All those dreams and desires that you let go of, the business dreams that he placed in your heart that were once alive in you. I know a lot of us have had those. Believe me, I've been there. You had some idea, you know, and you knew it was from God, but you just kind of let it slip. Once again, because of procrastination or just things weren't working out. It's time to awaken that dream. It's time to awaken those callings. Now, when you do recognize your calling or that business dream or whatever you're striving for, I'd advise you not to tell every person about it, right? Because not everybody's going to be on your side about it. You can let a couple good family know, as far as church family, believers, because family will even try to pull you away from stuff, right? Not this family, though. But you don't let everybody know what the dream is, because not everybody can handle your dream. They can't handle your purpose, right? Tell somebody, I'm going to be preaching in front of 10,000 people in Africa. I'm like, you're crazy. You can't even get out of, I was going to say Lockhart. We got out of Lockhart. You can't even get out of this city. What makes you think you're going to go to Africa? And then what happens? You start getting doubt and, you know, it's no. So you don't put those things out just to everybody. Don't put your desires and dreams out to everybody because they can't handle it. So when God calls you to do something, it's going to be big. And a lot of times you're not even going to think you can handle it. But if he's given it to you, you can. The naysayers are going to be working hard to let you know you're not capable. You don't have the resources. You don't have the connections. You don't have anything you need to bring that dream to fruition. In fact, if I can switch pages here. Look at that lying devil sticking my papers together. There we go. In fact, the enemy will make you try to believe that you don't even believe in that dream. Right? Yeah, once you start seeing things really not happen as quickly as you think they should, it's like, well, maybe that really wasn't what I was supposed to be doing. Walk out what God has called you to do and let the fruit speak for itself. Right? Again, you don't have to tell everybody. You do it step by step as God has called you to do it, and you let the fruit speak, then you let them see it, and then you give glory to God. Know that if God gave you a dream to pursue, he will give you the finances, the resources, the connections, and the knowledge to bring that dream to pass. All you have to do is seek him. Holy Spirit will give you knowledge and wisdom and lead you in the steps you need to take to make that dream come alive. I've had a dream for a business for a while now. And I got to tell you, it's been one of those things that I just know I'm supposed to be doing, right? But I've got this fear inside of me. And it's a lot of you would say, oh, that's dumb, you know. But it's a real fear, you know, and I need to deal with it at times. And to me, I don't even see it as a fear. I'm like just kind of like an annoyance. It's because I know that I need to get on film, on social media, and say some stuff. But I always get this thing like, am I going to say the right thing? Is it going to sound dumb? You know, it's like, look at all these people out there who do this. They do it so much, you know, so well already. You got to start where you are, right? It's time for me to awaken that. It's time for me to stop sleeping on that just because of this little insecurity I have about it, right? If God's called me to do it, if he's called you to do it, you are full well and capable to do it. And for those of you who get online and make videos, I applaud you. That's amazing. We can't have fear. Fear is the one thing that's going to hold us back. Me being afraid of getting on camera just to say what I know God has called me to say, to talk about the things I know he's called me to talk about, that is letting a very insignificant thing be in the way of my true purpose and calling for what God has called me to do that's going to bring glory to him. Why would I let a fear like that stand in the way of God getting glory? Right? Why would I let a fear like that, an insecurity, keep somebody else from receiving what God has for them? Again, you don't know how somebody else is going to be affected by what you're saying, by the words that are coming out of your mouth. Yeah. The Holy Spirit words that are coming out of your mouth. How do you know how it's going to affect them? You don't. Only the Father knows. But if you let that insecurity stop you, they'll never get it, right? First time, and it was one of the first times we were doing the prison ministry. We were in the jail, and that was a scary situation as it was first going in there. Because you kind of think that when you go in there, there's going to be like guards all around, right? You know, they're going to be protecting you, you know, and whatnot. You know, there's like four of us in there. And like 60 guys just pile into the kitchen area there, or not kitchen, the cafeteria, with us standing in there, nobody else, just all these prisoners. It's like, oh, okay. Well, early on into that, it was probably the third or fourth service, and I had never done this before. I heard Holy Spirit tell me, hey, you need to go over there and tell that guy, give him this word that these kids are thinking about and they're praying for him. And it was specific on how many kids there were, boy and girl, that kind of a thing, and then the words that they were actually using. And I was like, and this guy was all tatted up on his face, you know, gang tattoos and everything, big, scary guy, right? I was like, I am not going to do that. There's no way I'm going to do that. I'd never given a word before, much less in a prison, you know, to a guy that's all tatted up that looks like he could do some pretty major damage. But Holy Spirit spoke to me sternly and said, if you don't tell him what he needs to hear, he's never going to get his life changed. I was like, oh my gosh. All right. I got it. So I walk over to him. And he's looking at me the whole way, and I'm looking at him, locked eyes to eyes. I'm sure he's wondering, what's this guy walking over to me for? And I'm wondering, why am I walking over this guy? I told him what I'd heard. And I kid you not, tears just started welling up in his eyes. started streaming down his face, and he couldn't even talk. I gave him the word that happened, walked back, sat down. I was like, all right, thank you, Father, I did it. And obviously, it was something he needed. After the service, he came up to me, and he was like, how did you know that stuff? And I was like, man, I don't know you, and I don't know anything about your family or anything. And I just did what the Holy Spirit told me to say, you know, said what he said to say. That was a purpose in my life, right? That was something I was created for that moment, for that guy. And for him, I believe it changed his life. I'll know one day, hey, that's actually what happened to him afterwards. But I know in that moment, he felt God. In that moment, he knew that Holy Spirit was real, that God was listening, because it may have been something that he had been praying about. You don't know. And if you don't pursue that dream, pursue that vision, there's people out there who will never know. That's why it's so important. It's not about us. It's about others, right? It's about the kingdom. It's about God's business. What we need to do is treasure those things that God has spoken to us. We need to keep them in front of us. If God gives you a dream, if he speaks to your heart, to your spirit, and you clearly know it's him, you've prayed and he's speaking to you, you've got to treasure it. You've got to put some importance on it. If it's important enough for him to tell you, it's important enough for you to remember. I've done it several times where I get a word or hear something, it's like, okay, I'll remember that. Next day, you don't even remember what happened, you know, that evening or whatever it was. So I encourage you, if you get a word, record it. Write it down. Put it on yourself. I mean, we got these handy gadgets now. We can just do a voice recording or take a quick note. Compile those things that God is telling you into some sort of record. And keep your eyes on them, right? It's like the vision boards. You got to keep your eyes on it, right? To stay on track, on focus. So treasure those things that God has given you, those words. Oh, I got some sticky papers today. Here we go. And then when you get those words, you record them, then you seek the Lord and speak to those things. You got to put word on them, right? Can't just write them down and then just say, okay, it's written down. No, you've got to pursue them. You've got to keep your eyes on them. You've got to speak over them. You've got to ask for direction. It's like David with the Battle of Ziklag, right? Yeah. So he comes back from the battle. They had a victorious battle over the Amalekites. Comes back, and what do they see? The town is burned down. All their possessions are gone. Their children, their wives have been taken. There's nothing there except David and his army. David was their guy, right? Their chief, their warrior. And what were they doing now? They were talking about killing him, right? But what did David do? David sought the Lord. He inquired of the Lord, right? So when we see things going awry, or if we need direction, what do we need to do? We need to seek the Lord. David said, shall I pursue? The Lord didn't just tell him, pursue. He said, pursue, for you shall surely overtake him, and you'll get everything back. The Lord is no respecter of persons. If he did it for King David, he'll do it for you. Little old me, Hector, in Marble Falls, Texas, what he did for King David, yeah, he will. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still speaking, he's still moving, he's still directing. But it's our job to wake up. We got to wake up. God will lead you step by step. Right? The Bible tells us several times, just ask the Lord. He's going to give you directions. He'll lead you step by step. You might not see the whole plan, right, the ending of it. You'll know what the expected outcome should be, but he'll give you step-by-step instructions. If you're following the Holy Spirit, that step-by-step instructions will come to the full fruition. You may not understand it at the moment, but it will. And don't turn to worldly people when it comes to your desires and dreams and plans. Now, there's a lot of books out there on building a business or, you know, having a good marriage, you know. First of all, if they're not written by Christian people, I wouldn't really take much, you know, into account for them. Holy Spirit's the one that's going to lead you. And sometimes, even if they are written by Christians, I'd be a little leery of that too. You got to seek Holy Spirit because he's the only one that will give you the right direction, the right steps to take. And those steps that somebody else will give you to build a business that would take 5 to 10 years to build it with God, a year later, you could be prosperous, right? But you got to seek him. You got to know that desire. You got to know that you've been given this purpose and this dream. Then you got to seek him, and you've got to get and follow those step-by-step directions. He might tell you to go sow a seed somewhere, right? He'll tell you to go to this place or that place. Take a left turn here. Take a right turn there. I really enjoy Art Jr.'s stories about being led like that. Art Jr. is a prosperous salesman. And how does he get his business? People want to know. Inquiring minds want to know, right? Holy Spirit leads him. Several times he's been driving down the road and the Holy Spirit will say, hey, turn right here. Somewhere he's never gone. And he'll turn. Stop right here. Go into this office. Talk to him. And bam, it's just like that. That's one thing I teach my salespeople is don't be so caught up in the what the world says you need to do as a salesperson, right? In my opinion, in my experience, sales should come real easy. In fact, for me, they do. People call me all the time, and I expect it. But why? Because I seek the Lord. I pray about things. I know who to call at the right times. I've had the Lord tell me, hey, you need to call this person. I haven't called them in 2 years. Call this person and just to say hi kind of a thing. I'll call them, hey, you called at the right moment. It's crazy you called today because we actually have this project coming up. That will happen in anything you're doing. If you seek the Lord and his direction, he'll give you those kind of things. He'll lead you in those things. Isn't that amazing? It's not just these, you know, spiritual, you know, it's like everyday stuff. Lead me today, Lord. Holy Spirit, lead me. You're a light into my path, right? He'll lead every footstep you take, every call you make. He'll lead him if you let him and if you seek him. But you got to let him. You got to, you know, you got to follow. Tell you one of the coolest things that happens as a born-again believer, and this can happen in business and stuff. You share your faith with somebody, or you share a testimony, somebody's going through something. Let's say somebody is going through something and you have a testimony. This is what our testimonies are for, that relates to that, that you've overcome something, you've been victorious over, and they need that, right? Yes. And it could be a stranger. All of a sudden, you share them, share your testimony with them. They've been encouraged. And they ask you, so what do you, you know, do for work? All of a sudden, it's like, wow, I actually have a business that works with businesses like yours. You know what I mean? Or you're a realtor? We're actually looking for a house in the area. Whatever it might be. Yeah. Holy Spirit will lead you in things like that. Yes. Right? And I know many of us have testimonies of being around people at work and stuff like that where just sharing the goodness of God has opened up doors for us. And why? Because God intersects us. Holy Spirit will intersect us. Some people don't even know they're being led, but they're being led to you. Again, why? Because you have the answer. You have the answer that they need. Isn't that amazing? Praise God. Remember, you hear the voice of the shepherd. You don't have to understand everything. You don't have to understand every step. You just have to walk it out. You have to listen. Remember, any of y'all see the original Karate Kid? Right? That was a great movie. Really enjoyed that one growing up. These newer ones are kind of funny, but the original one was awesome. What about Mr. Miyagi? What did he have Daniel's son doing? Wax off, right, everybody knows that. Wax on, wax off, wax on, wax off. He did it for weeks, and Daniel's son thought he was just making him wash his cars. Then was the next thing, paint the fence with long strokes. Daniel's son's getting really upset about this whole thing because he thinks he's just his, you know, servant boy now. Because he doesn't understand. He just thinks he's doing these menial tasks. Then he has him sanding the deck. This huge deck, right? And Daniel's son's like, I've had it. This is enough. This has nothing to do with what my calling is, what the purpose of me being here is. I came to learn karate, right? I came to learn how to defend myself. And all you're teaching me, or all you're having me do, you're not even teaching me anything, is do all your housework, clean your cars, you know, paint your fence. But that day comes when Mr. Miyagi throws it down, and because of the steps that Danielson took through that time, it just came as natural, right? He knew how to do all these moves. He didn't see the outcome. He didn't know the outcome. He didn't know the final fruition of his work. Miyagi knew, right? The master knew. Because he was having him go through these steps. Again, we don't understand every step. But if you have faith, if you believe, and you know that you know that you know, then those steps are going to bring about the desired result. Your destiny. Your calling. You just got to be the Daniel son, right? Well, without the doubting and complaining. So we don't complain, we don't doubt, we walk by faith. So the question is, are you walking by faith? Do you truly, truly believe that what God's calling you to do, those steps, that they are leading you to that end result that he's called you to be and do? Do you have a true hunger for an anticipation of the things of God to come to pass? You've got to have that hunger inside of you, right? When you're in full faith, you know that what he's told you to do will come to pass. With his leading, when you know that you know, there's an anticipation. Yes. Amen. There's a hunger for it. Yes. You just can't wait. Your mouth is watering, right? My dog Scout, I'll tell him, sit. I'm trying to get the bowl filled with his food, right? Sit, stay. And he's like shaking and stuff, but he's sitting and staying. And he's shaking. And his mouth is like drooling. I was like, God, calm down, guy, you know? His mouth is like drooling. I was like, that's gross. I get two scoops in there and finally go, all right, go. And then he'll go for it. He is anticipating because he knows what the end result is. He's going to get fed. That's the way we got to be. We got to be so hungry for the calling of God that we just can't wait, that we are in anticipation. We are shaking inside because we know that at the end of this thing, God's getting all the glory, right? Praise God. Thank you for Scout, Father. Scout's a good dog. Now, Jesus, let's go to Jesus real quick. What the world saw as dead, Jesus saw as sleeping. Isn't that cool? Right? We're supposed to wake up. We're supposed to wake up, sleeper. Jesus took dead things and didn't see them that way. He saw out of the natural. Lazarus was dead 4 days. What did he say? He's sleeping. Jairus' daughter, they go rushing to her, and he wasn't in a rush. They go over to the house. Everybody's coming out, saying, oh, don't even worry going in there. She's dead, this and that. Jesus, like, No fear. Well, that's exactly what said. Do not fear. She's just asleep. What happens? She's awake. With God, all things are possible. Anything that you think is dead in your life, if you think that business idea is dead, it can still come to life. But only with the source. Only with the falling of the Holy Spirit. There is nothing dead that God has called you to do. I don't care how long ago it was. God can bring it to pass. We just got to be participating in that. God even brought Jesus out of the tomb. Right? Nothing is too far for Jesus to bring back to life. Now the world's going to laugh and they're going to scoff as you're working on awakening, right? Don't concern yourself with the opinions of people. That's one thing I got to learn too, believe me. Like I said, just with those video things, it's like, if God's called me to do it, why am I worried about what people are going to think about it? Right? If I know God's called me to do it, he's the only one I'm looking to. Right? I got to get my flesh out of the way. I got to get my thoughts, my concerns, my worries, which I shouldn't have any anyway because I'm in faith, right? If I'm really in faith, why are there concerns or worries? Right? I got to awaken to that. I got to stop sleeping on that. Remember, the enemy comes at you with fear, and it's a lie. Yep. You need to address that lie of the fear. So here with the ending, what happens when you wake up? What happens when we make the decision to wake up, to stop sleeping on our dreams and our desires and who we're called to be? First, we're going to make a positive effect in this world towards the kingdom. Life comes. Life comes to those around us. We've talked about that several times because it's an important aspect. When we fulfill our destiny, what God has truly called us to do, life comes to those around us, to this world. And you build the kingdom. You bring more people into the family. And ultimately, that's what it's about. All this stuff in this world, all the things we're called to do, it's all to build the kingdom, right? Yep. Romans 2:4 says, do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance, right? So as you share your story, your journey, your testimony, your calling with others, they see how good God is, they're going to want the same thing. And that's what it's all about, family. So we got to be that, kingdom builders, right? We've heard that for years. We're kingdom builders. Are you truly a kingdom builder? Because if you are, it starts with you. It starts with building your destiny, building your future, building your calling. Otherwise, you're not building the kingdom. So be a testimony of God's goodness. Let it radiate from your life so that all will see that God is truly good. Did y'all get something out of that today? Well, praise God. Thank you, Father. We praise your name, Father. We give you all the glory and honor today, Father. We declare that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are our King, our Lord. And it is our good pleasure, Father, to do exactly what you've called us to do. We awaken today, Father. All those things we've been sleeping on that you've called us to do, we awaken them right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask for your Holy Spirit empowerment to do those things that we've been called to do. Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us. Give us step-by-step directions and instructions. We will listen and we will follow. All for your glory, Father. We praise your name, Father. We praise your name. We thank you for our family here, Father. We call them blessed, whole, healthy, and complete, lacking nothing. We thank you for it, Father. We praise your name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, family. Thank you, internet audience, for joining us today. We declare blessings over you. And we praise the name of Jesus. And we love you. Why do I always forget that? We love you. God loves you. Stay in victory. Bye, y'all.